Today on Family Talk.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh, and today you're going to hear the conclusion of a conversation Dr. Dobson had with Joe White, president of Kanakuk Camps in Branson, Missouri. Now, on yesterday's program, the two discussed the reason that Joe began the camp and the hunger young adults have for the truth. On this broadcast, Joe will talk about his personal battle with leukemia. He'll also share a story of kids at his camp realizing their intrinsic value. Here now is part two of a program called Helping Teens Find Their Purpose on today's edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Well, Joe White was our guest last time, and we touched on the topic of helping children and teens to develop their talents, to chase their dreams, and to cultivate a passion for Christ. And that's Joe's passion as he reaches out to some 20,000 young people every summer at the Kanakuk sports camps. He's the founder and president of that organization, and he has poured himself into his own four children as well, helping them to find that God-given purpose in life. And Joe, I loved talking with you yesterday. In fact, I always do. You always have something new and original to say, but it comes from your heart, and that's what I love. You're an emotional man, and you have put all your passion into young people, into kids, yours and everybody else's. And it is such a pleasure to have you back.
It's one of the greatest joys of my life, Jim. I just love it.
You know, before we began our program last time, we were just sitting here chatting. And even though it's not related to your book, Wired by God, it sort of is. And it has to do with your own mom and dad, who were married for 65 years before your dad went to be with the Lord.
Yes, sir.
65 years.
Well, the way my daddy loved my mom... It was a book. It was a sermon. It was a movie.
And you were watching?
Every day. Dad was a tough guy. He taught hand-to-hand combat in World War II, was on a carrier in the Pacific Ocean. He was an athlete. Went to USC.
I knew there was something I liked about your family.
But Daddy loved my mom. And every day, as far as I knew, every day, and I've never heard my mom refute this, my dad would write my mom a love letter. Daddy was 88 years old when he went to heaven. His love for mom was so tender. In fact, there were two trees out in the yard, an old box elder tree and an old elm tree that were old, and they had grown to be one tree. Though two different species, these two trees had intertwined. And somewhere in the quiet one morning, my daddy walked down. He tacked a sign on the old elm tree that said Spike, and he tacked a sign on the old box elder tree that said Darnell. That was their names. Oh. And he just walked away quietly. But that was their sermon, these two people. As love grew stronger and stronger and sweeter and more romantic, as the years went by, my daddy and mom had become one giant precious tree. Mm-hmm. Well, when my daddy died, he sat in an old blue chair that he lived in for years because of his back. He couldn't lay down. And his left arm was paralyzed from a stroke, had been paralyzed for months. My mom was always on his right side, stroking his right arm there and loving on him and telling him what a champion he was, even though his time was running out. But in his unconsciousness, just before he went to be with the Lord, my daddy reached over with his left arm, the one that was frozen and had been frozen in paralysis for months, and he took my mommy's hand in his unconsciousness, and he raised her hand with both of his hands above his head as if Jesus was reaching down to take my dad to heaven, and he probably was. And my dad was saying, as he held mommy's head over his head, Jesus, we go together. If you want me, you got to take her too.
Oh, man.
It was a love story,
and
Jim.
And he died right there?
Just a little bit later, he died.
Yeah. You told us when you were recounting that in those last days when they both knew that he was going to die, and he was in this sleep state, he would awaken and write her a love letter. Mm-hmm. He had it on his lap, and he would awaken and write something to her. What kind of things did he write?
Hey, baby. Daddy always kept a sense of humor. he'd say, God sure did good when you let an old goat like me marry somebody as special as you. Things like that.
Yeah.
He had pages. He had an old yellow pad in his lap. Dad was a very simple man. But literally, he'd turn the page day after day, and he'd write Mom love letters. He couldn't talk at the end.
And she has all those letters now.
I'm sure she treasures those letters to her heart.
And then he slipped away. You're a blessed man to have a father like that. You know, I was too. Only my dad didn't get much of a warning. You know, he was just sitting next to my mother at the table and fell into her arms and off onto the floor, and he was gone. And he was only 66. That was far too early. But he was that kind of man, and he sure loved my mother, and she loved him. But, you know, I've told the story before. She never got over it. Mm. She was so wrapped around him. Her tree and his tree were so grown together that when he suddenly left, she couldn't cope. Mm. And she lived 11 more years, but died of Parkinson's disease. And I really am fully convinced that she died of a broken spirit, broken heart.
When God said the two shall become one flesh, he definitely knew what he was talking about.
We're talking about health problems, Joe. You have had acute leukemia. You are now in remission. You look good. Mm-hmm. You're doing okay.
Mm-hmm. A blessed man. Every day I get to slip along the crevice of a cliff, and sometimes I feel the cliff crumbling. But I've never had so much fun in my life. Jim, the last 5 years have been absolute pure joy. As I speak with men, teenagers, or as I counsel, I get to share pain. And the craziest thing happens when I'm doing Promise Keeper events with thousands of men, because I have leukemia, because I'm on the edge of death. I can relate to everybody out there and can share how Christ came to me when I thought I was going to die, and the doctors were saying, you need to go write your will. I was holding Debbie Jo, trembling. I was so sad to say goodbye to her. But God spoke in my heart that he was my daddy and that he'd carry me across the finish line at the end of the race. And now I get to share that with men and with kids, and thousands trust Christ. So I thank God. And here in the studio, I thank God that I've been blessed to be able to walk with leukemia for however many days that I have. Having any affliction in this lifetime or any trial is guaranteed in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4, that God will use the comfort and bravery he gives me in that affliction so that I can share the same comfort and bravery with anyone else who's going through an affliction themselves. It's a blessing.
Well, you are determined to take as many to heaven with you when that time comes. So am I. And I've been on the edge of that same cliff, and the Lord has spared me for this period of time. I'm very, very grateful for every day. That's sort of what you were trying to say in Wired by God. You were saying, don't let these years slip away. Make your investment in the younger generation. Many of them are lost. Many of them are wounded. Many of them are hurt. Most of them are confused. Yeah. Most of them don't know why they exist.
Yeah.
They go to school and they hear of an evolutionary process with no design and no designer.
Exactly.
And there is no reason for them to be there other than a biochemical accident. How could they have any self-esteem coming out of that notion that I'm not here for a purpose, I'm not here for any specific plan or design by anyone, I just happened and I'm lost? You hear from those kids all the time, and you're trying to say you're wired by God for passion, for a purpose and plan.
Yes, sir. And Jim, in my lap, I've got to share with you something that is so neat. This makes my life just, I live in sheer amazement when I think about this. But I'm cutting an apple in two. And inside of this apple, there's a seed. Now, I just thought about this last year when I think about kids, and I get so excited about this. Any child on planet Earth is like that little seed of that little apple that I'm holding in my hand. And God knows that inside that seed, there are hundreds of apple pies. And God knows about every one of those little apple pies. He knows every apple that's going to come from that seed. And so it is in the heart of a child. Now, Jim, God took that seed that your child, every mom and every dad, that your child has a seed of purpose, a seed that God has placed in their heart, and he began from the foundation of the world. He gave that seed to Adam. He passed that seed to Seth. He passed it to Enosh, to Kenan, to Mahalalel, to Enoch, to Methuselah, to Lamech, to Noah, to Shem, to Arpachshad, to Shelah, to Heber, to Peleg, to Reu, to Serug, to Nahor, to Terah, to Abraham, to Isaac, Jacob, Judah, pass it all the way down through David and Solomon and Rehoboam and through the kings, pass that seed all the way down to Abijah and Eleazar and Eliakim and Amathan and Jacob and Joseph. And supernaturally, God took that seed, because Mary was a virgin, placed it in Jesus, and through Jesus's cross, through his covenant, through his friendship, through the Holy Spirit, through the adoption, God placed that seed in the heart of your child. Mm-hmm. That seed is eternal. It's huge. There's not a purposeless child on this earth. And as parents, we get to discover, we get to run alongside of our kids and cheer alongside of our kids and train alongside of our kids to help our kids achieve that God-given purpose. Joel, isn't that fun?
You know, you've got two pieces of the apple in front of you here where you pull that seed that you've been holding up. You may or may not know this. It's a little too late to demonstrate it now. But if you slice that apple across the middle instead of the way we usually slice it, there is a perfect 5-point star inside. Had you ever heard that?
And what does that say, Jim?
That says there's a star inside every child.
Oh, man.
I bet you use that down the road somewhere. See, you got to put the two together. Well, you got two halves here. But there is a perfect 5-point star in every apple.
You are listening to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. We are about midway through an interview Dr. Dobson conducted with Joe White, president of Kanakuk Camps, about his desire for children to realize their intrinsic value. I'm Roger Marsh, and you're going to hear the remainder of this fantastic conversation in just a moment. But first, I want to remind you that now is a great time to partner with us. The programs and Ministry of Family Talk are completely sustained by you, our faithful listeners, so we implore you to stand with us through your tax-deductible financial contributions. Every dollar you give has a tremendous and lasting impact on this ministry. If you can help, you can make your donation securely online at drjamesdobson.org. You can also pledge your support by phone when you call toll-free, 877-732-6825. Again, the toll-free number to call is 877-732-6825. Thanks so much for your generous gifts and also for your constant prayers for Dr. Dobson and this ministry. Okay, let's jump back into today's program now. The rest of this broadcast will be centered around the epidemic in our culture of fatherlessness and how Joe and his team address this issue at their Kanakuk camps. Here now is the remainder of Dr. Dobson's conversation with Joe White here on Family Talk.
I was speaking at camp to K-1, which is our camp for youngest kids, and the gym was packed with little 8, 9, 10, 11, 12-year-old kids. And I was talking about the love of a father, about how God is a dad, that he's got a big lap, and he's got big arms, and he wants to nurture and hold and love you. And this precious little, turned out an orphan girl who'd gotten to camp because of a loving family who'd adopted her. She raised her hand, precious, precious little 8-year-old, and she said, "What does a girl do who doesn't have a daddy's lap to fall into?" And I scooped her up in my arms and held her there. She and I bonded just instantly. And I turned around, and here's all of our counselors, our college football players and college basketball players, all. And I said, "What man in this room would want to adopt this little girl I'm holding today?" Well, every hand shot up, and this little girl was so blessed. And then I saw my mom walking outside the window of the gym, and I thought about my wife, and I looked at that precious little 8-year-old girl, and I said, the two greatest women I know didn't have a dad. In fact, the two greatest women I know really had very little. My mom really never had a dad. My wife's dad was killed when she was 4 years old. But those moms, in very humble circumstances, in fact, borderline poverty, they gave those little seeds, my mommy and my wife, everything they had. They worked to put bacon on the table. But when they came home, my grandmom always called my mom her little chick. And when my grandmom died at age 100, my mom, her little chick's name was on her lips. She poured courage into my mom. She poured self-worth into my mom. Debbie Jo's mom, my little bride, she's a champion. I'll go down praising her name because of what she gave my wife. So it doesn't really matter what circumstances we come from or whether we have, you know, perfect role model parents or not, because very few of us did. But with whatever resource we have, if we treasure our seed, if we treasure the heart of that child that we have, then God is going to water that seed.
Well, Joel, let's take that back a generation. And let me ask you to address this single mom or single dad who's out there and wants to accomplish this with their kids, but they really don't know where to start, and they don't have the help of a spouse. And that little child that's around their knees needs something. What encouragement can you give them?
Jim, that's a great question. And I suppose that 30-35% of our kids at Kanakuk live in a single-parent home. And, Jim, I've got to tell you, they're some of the finest kids in all of Kanakuk land. The way this seed begins to sprout is the gift of encouragement. It's the easiest gift to give. And to a child, mommies and daddies, it's the most important gift we can give. Attaboy, I'm proud of you. You can do it. One time my daddy said to me, he said, son, you're only limited by your energy and your imagination. It's just speaking promise into our kids' hearts every day. At K2 football, I coach football team, our goal as a staff is to encourage every boy by name 10 times a day. A lot of those boys don't have a dad encouraging them. The encouragement, I was in Knoxville doing a youth rally, and this boy, this big old tall, spindly, low, spidery kind of a kid came up to me, and he's crying. And after I spoke, he said, my dad's a deacon in the church, but he won't hug me. And I said, your dad is missing out. Probably his dad didn't hug him, and probably his dad's passing down something his granddad didn't do. But you can start right now by hugging your child. Jim, it's the little things that matter in the heart of a child. And encouragement is probably, even though it's not putting them out there on the baseball field or football field, some giant gift, it's probably the most important gift that a parent can give a child.
You talk in your book about giving your kid a dream. How do you find it? How do you cultivate it?
Well, Jim, I was talking to a mom 2 days ago from Lawrence, Kansas, single mom, and she adopted a boy. And I will tell you that that is one of the neatest young men you've ever met. This boy, as I said in a broadcast yesterday, is the only boy he knows that follows Christ in his peer group. But that mom has given that boy passion. She's given that boy purpose. And I said, how do you do that? And she said, the first thing I do is encourage him. The second thing I do is I expose him to a lot of different opportunities. He took to basketball. And then she said, I surround that boy with people who care about him like I do. And Jim, this is key for a single mom. She found a man in the community who liked kids, and she sort of hooked this boy up with this guy so that this man could begin to mentor that boy. She also sends him to camp where the counselors mentor that boy. So it's okay to ask for help. But our philosophy at camp, and that I see a lot of single dads and single moms do with their kids, is we give kids a smorgasbord. We let them try everything under the sun. And we make as big a deal out of checkers and ping pong and sailing as we do out of soccer and basketball and football. But is your child like my little grandson Hayes? The other day we were looking at a microscope, a little inexpensive microscope. And I noticed in that little five-year-old child an excitement about science. Well, I'm just encouraging it to death. And then I'm writing a poem, and he's popping in a couple of rhyming words. And I'm like, Hayes, you may have the gift of poetry. You can rhyme. And now, Jim, I'll purpose my life to help that child pursue some of his scientific, you know, maybe bent or some of his poetic bent. So it's just looking for the first specks of life when your child's chalking the sidewalk out there. Simple thing. Get out there and sit down with them and encourage them in their little chalking. The first time he catches a little baseball in the hat, when you're just tossing, playing, just cheer like crazy when he makes the smallest little accomplishment.
You call yourself a cheerleader, and parents ought to be cheerleaders.
Absolutely. You know, every mom and dad ought to have a kind of a pair of hidden pom-poms that you carry around with them. You know, Zig Ziglar says for every time you criticize a child, there's got to be 1,000 attaboys. And I couldn't agree with it more. You're a cheerleader and a coach.
Well, Joe, the title of the book is Wired by God. Not just wired, but wired by God. Every single one of us is wired to love Him and have a passion for His truth and meaning. And that's what you're getting at this stage. But let me close with this. You have explained that having had leukemia, you still have it. It's in remission, but it will not always be in remission. We all know the natural history of that disease, but we're all going to die of something. When you look ahead to that time when you're gone and you're on the other side, what kind of thoughts come to mind? Do you approach that with dread? Do you look at it as the greatest thing, the greatest disaster that could possibly happen to you? Or do you see something else? Is there any hope there?
Jim, I have to admit, I get really sad when I think about, in my finite mind, saying goodbye to Debbie Jo. Yeah. That makes me sad. And I know I'll be with her forever, but just that earthly suit that I wear. But God has made it crystal clear to me that He's my dad. And some people are uncomfortable calling God dad, but He calls Himself dad in Romans chapter 8. He asks you to call Him. He says, call me dad. But as I got sick 5 years ago, that message came into my head loud and clear. Joe, I'm your dad. I said, God, will you be there? That was my question. I wasn't mad. I'm just thrilled that God even uses a loser like me sometimes. You know, how could God use me, I wonder. But He does. So I wasn't mad. I wasn't bitter, and I wasn't whiny. I just had to know. I just went up there, and I just said, Father, will you be there? And that message came into my mind. He said, Joe, I'm your dad, and I'll carry you across the finish line. And He gave me a picture like we used to carry our kids when we'd come home from the movie or something at night, and they'd sleep on our shoulder, those precious moments of small childhood. But He gave me a picture that Jesus would be carrying me like that across the finish line. I needed that, Jim, but I'll treasure that picture. And yes, I know that my hope is in Christ.
Your dad is over there, isn't he?
He sure is.
He's
going to
be waiting for you?
He's got heaven organized, I'll tell you.
Well, my dad's off on a way distant planet exploring because he loves science. So.
And Daddy's helping everybody have fun.
I love you, Joe.
And I love you too, Jim.
And appreciate what you stand for and your love for kids. And I have a passion for kids, too. A good part of what we do here is designed to put an arm around this generation of young people, which is so lost.
Yeah.
And we have some answers through Christ Jesus. And you have them, too. And you're doing a wonderful job of getting those messages out there. And please do come back and see us again.
Thank you. It's always a joy. Kids are America's greatest natural resource. They're the best we got.
Give a hug to Debbie Jo for us.
Thank you, Jim.
And I hope you have enjoyed listening to Joe White's fascinating story over the past 2 days here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. If you'd like to learn more about Kennecook Camps or any of the other ministries Joe is part of, head over to today's broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org. There you'll find links to everything Joe is involved with, and also you'll learn how to sign up your kid for one of his camps if you'd like. Again, you'll find all that information at the broadcast page for drjamesdobson.org. As you may or may not know, in addition to our broadcast ministry, Family Talk is very active on social media, and we'd love for you to connect with us there. You can find us on Twitter by searching for Dr. James Dobson, FT, as in Family Talk. Once you click follow, you'll have access to all of the interactive and enriching content that we have on our feed. If you have Twitter, give us a follow when you search Dr. James Dobson, FT. Finally, we would love to know how you accessed our program today, whether it be radio, One Place, our mobile app, or on our website. You can let us know where you hear us by calling our listener feedback line at 844-823-2669. We would love to hear from you and really appreciate knowing where and how you're listening to us. Again, the toll-free number to call is 844-823-2669. I'm Roger Marsh, reminding you to join us again next time for an all-new episode of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Hope you have a blessed day.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.
Hi, this is Dr. Tim Clinton, President of the American Association of Christian Counselors and Executive Director of the Center for Counselor Education and Family Studies at Liberty University. Man, I'm so excited to tell you about a brand new program, an exciting opportunity for you to better yourself. It's a tremendous educational resource. It's the all-new James C. Dobson Center for Child Development, Marriage, and Family Studies at Liberty University. Liberty has partnered with renowned psychologist, author, radio show host, family expert, Dr. James C. Dobson, to create the Dobson Center, where you now can study in three different majors, marriage and family, child development, family advocacy, and more, and become even a certified marriage and family relationship coach. That's right. You can go to college at Liberty and learn from Dr. James C. Dobson. He actually teaches video lectures, salted with numerous experts from the field and more. I hope you'll take a moment just to check out these brand new programs of study at Liberty.